Well, good morning, everyone. We've got a full house today, and I'm sure there'll be more to come already. Thank you very, very much for being here. I think we have a whole lot of visitors, or quote-unquote pseudo-visitors. Family hardly counts, but we're very glad that you're here and that you've chosen to worship God with us together. And it's encouraging, as always, to meet other people who are disciples that you've never met before. Because you might be related by blood to somebody here, but when we all come together to worship God as Christians, we are all family. So whether we've met or not, we're thankful for all the brothers and sisters that are here today. As we start our lesson, does anyone know what time it is? Not everyone has the freedom that I do to look behind you guys right now, but there's not a clock on the back wall. And the shirt sleeves on my shirt are a little long. I'm not sure I'll be able to check my watch the whole sermon. Does anyone know what time it is? Obviously, not talking too much about the duration. You know, some people sweat about long sermons. Some people get nervous about short sermons. I'm not making any promises this morning, but the question remains, does anyone ever know what time it is? Probably not. That's my answer. And what we'll look at today is not so much what a clock has to say about the time that we're in, but we're going to look to God's wisdom in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. If you want to open up your Bibles, I encourage you to do that. Read God's word along with us as we go. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we wonder about what time it is, and not specifically the hour or the minute or anything like that, but what time of life do we find ourselves in? Everybody's in different places at different times, and it's hard to discern. It's not always obvious what our life has in store for us in the present or in the future or in anything like that. And this is something that the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes reflects on and is what a well-known passage that many people draw comfort from is here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let's read it together from the start of the chapter. It says, "There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to throw stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to shun embracing, a time to search, a time to give up as lost, a time to keep, and a time to throw away. There is a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." There is an unspeakable truth in what is stated at the beginning of this chapter, that there is an appointed time for everything under the sun. Life is full of variety, and the more life experience that you have, the more that you can see this as you look back on whatever life experience you may have. It doesn't take a whole lot, but the more that you have, the more material you have to work with, the better. You look at your life and you see that it's filled with all sorts of things, ups and downs, difficulties and blessings. And as you read through this list, you can resonate with it in different ways based on your personal experience. There's a time to give birth and a time to die. How many times have we seen both of those things in our lives? As children and nieces and nephews and grandchildren are born, as cousins and friends and parents die, there's a time to tear up, a time to build down, and so the list goes on. There's a time for everything, and everything is under consideration in this passage. Whether it's the massive events of life that no one can avoid, like birth or death, down to every moment, there's a time to be silent and a time to speak. And many times when we read this passage, we can find a lot of comfort in it, especially when we find difficulties in our lives, because we realize that everything has its set place in our times. You know, you come to a difficult spot in your life, some hardship, and you're reminded that everything has its place, and perhaps it won't always be this way, although it feels like it may. There's some great comfort in this passage this way. But more than comfort, the more that I reflect on this passage, I find this hiddenness that you just cannot get past. There's a veil that you cannot penetrate as you read this passage. Because, like we said at the beginning of the lesson, does anyone know what time it is? How can you know what season of life it is for you? You know, you come to something and maybe it's a conversation you have to have with a loved one or a situation you find yourself in, and you have to ask yourself, is this a time to mend or to tear apart? What is the right thing for me to do in this situation? Is this a time when I should be silent, or is this a time when I should speak? Is this a time to gather to people or to shun and to throw them away? We know that there are times for everything, but who in the world knows what time it is? How do you know when it's appropriate to do either thing? And the best that we can do, it seems often, is to do our best, to live by wisdom, but we do not know the times. As you might have seen from the screen behind me, there is someone who does. And this is what this passage comes to as we continue. In verse 9, it says, "What profit is there for the worker from that in which he toils? I've seen the task which God has given to the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. He's made everything appropriate in its time. He's also set eternity in their heart. Yet, so that man will not find out what the work of God has done from the beginning even to the end." Who can know what God is doing in your life? If anyone speaks with incredible certainty, you might want to take that with a little bit of salt. Might take that under a little consideration. Because who can know what God is doing in your life? And who can know the times that we find ourselves in? We maybe sometimes can hang on to this phrase in verse 11, that God has made everything appropriate in its time or beautiful in its time, and how God has set eternity in man's heart. And there's something that's so precious about that thought, that every single person, regardless of who they are or where they're from, has some understanding and some expectation for what is grander than them, what is eternal. And yet, as much as people can grasp the start of that idea, no one can see the full picture. Life is like a mosaic, this big piece of art that's beautiful when it's all put together, but it's made of these tiny little pieces of tile all put together. And if you're zoomed in too close on the tiles, you can't make sense of any of it. And the problem with us is that we don't have much of a choice as to what to look at, because we live life in the middle of time, moment by moment. We don't have the eternal perspective that God has. And so our life is like a mosaic, one piece at a time. If I were to show you this and told you this is my favorite piece of art, and I've got it hanging in my house, anybody think that's funny or something? I'm just kidding. It's kind of like a, you know, there's different kinds of art, and abstract art's a big thing, and I don't understand that much at all. And I really wouldn't hang this in my house either. I'm not sure that you would either. This is part of a mosaic, and you've got all these little pieces of tile put together. And this is how our lives function. This is how they're put together. We look at this and we say, there's a time to live and a time to die, time to embrace, time to shun embracing. All these parts of our life put together, but we can only see so small a piece. God, however, sees the entire thing. And when it's all put together, it is something beautiful. This is a mosaic representing the Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci. But all that we could see earlier was just this little piece right here. And that's how our lives work in the grand scheme. And maybe if we are wise and if we are discerning and prayerful, by the end of our life, if we are careful and thoughtful, We can see some bigger part of it. But even in reflection, we cannot see everything that God is doing in our lives or in the world or in the lives of the people we love. We know there's a time for everything, but who in the world knows what time it is? Well, God does. He sees all of it. He always sees the whole picture because God is eternal and everlasting and wise. The way that the Psalms speak of it, in Psalm 139, David says this, as he talks about how much God knows about him, how God is everywhere, he sees everything, he knows everything about each one of us. This is what David writes about God's knowledge. In Psalm 139 and verse 16, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. When David is praising God for how much he knows, before I was born, before I existed, you saw my unformed substance, whatever that is. He says, in your book were written all the days that were set for me when none of them had happened yet. God knew beforehand who David would be. And this knowledge is not special to David. It's not that God has taken a special interest in just him. And David gets to write and speak this way, but it doesn't have any bearing for us. No, God is a God who knows each of us. Or as our Lord teaches, he can number the hairs on your head. And it's shocking when we think about it this way, that God knew the times before they came. He sees the whole picture all at once while we're stuck tile by tile. God knew the days of blessing in your life before they happened. I want you to think about the greatest days of your life. The joy that you have in childhood, the innocence and the simplicity of that, the companionship with the very closest friends you have. Maybe it's the day that you were married, the day that you had your children born or your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren. What are the highest achievements you've met in your life? God saw those days before you were born. He knew those times were set. There is a time to embrace. There is a time to dance and a time to laugh. And God knows the times. God knows the times of hardship. Before you cried for the first time, God knew the darkest days that you would live, whether that's the grief of loss of a loved one, whether that's the pain of betrayal, whether that's the lonely hours, the hardship, the suffering that you would go through in your life. Before you cried a single tear, God knew the days. There is a time to mourn. There is a time to weep. There is a time to be alone. God knows all the time. Maybe a step further that is even more striking to us is that God knew the times of our failure in his life. Now, there's part of this great mystery of the incarnation is that God came in flesh, as we just sang, Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. He saw the whole picture, and yet he lived a human life, moment by moment, day by day. And in Jesus' life, all the while, he knew the times, and he knew each of us. Whenever he was born, and his little hands reached up to his mother for comfort, Jesus knew us. On the night when he was betrayed, when he sat down at the table with his disciples, Jesus knew us. When he was betrayed in the garden, on the morning when he was hung on the cross, Jesus knew us. And he knew all the times when we would turn our backs on him. When we would say, not today. When we would say, not now, Jesus. He knew every time that we would stray from the path, but he went to the cross anyway. Jesus saw the whole picture and the brutality of it, and the ugliness of it, and the great love of it. And he said, I will do it. I will obey my Father, and I will bring many sons and daughters to glory. Because he saw the times. There is a time to embrace. There's a time to come home. Jesus knew this. He knows each of us. And so what do we do with our lives? When we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the solution to our question that we start with is, does anyone know what time it is? The answer is not found in suddenly having the lights turned on and understanding everything that will happen to us. The wisdom of Ecclesiastes is not found in finally understanding why everything happens in life. The wisdom of Ecclesiastes is instead learning how to live wisely and humbly and gratefully, regardless of the mystery that life comes with. No one knows what the future holds, and I can't tell you that, and no one else can. Will the next few years of your life be easy? Will they be difficult? Will they be very blessed? Will they be very trying? Who knows? Things can change in an instant, in a day. And you're not going to find peace by trying to figure out everything that will happen, trying to know the times. That's not how you find peace. You find peace when you learn to trust the one who does see the whole picture. This is what it says in Ecclesiastes 3, right where we left off, in verse 12. Right after he's talked about how no one knows the work of God from the beginning to the end, he says in verse 12, I know that there's nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There's nothing to add to it. There's nothing to take from it. For God is so worked that men should fear him. That which is has been already, and that which will be has already been. For God seeks what has passed by. We may not know the times of our lives, and we may not be able to find out what has been until years later. But what we do have, which here is called the gift of God, is gratitude and simplicity and wisdom in our lives. That wherever we are, we are grateful for it. Life is unpredictable. And we are confident, not when we know all the answers of what may happen or what to do. We're confident because God knows what the future holds. And he can keep us until he comes again. And so as the passage says, we're grateful for the times that we find ourselves in, whatever that might be. We all wish for times of blessing. We all wish for times of joy. But that's not all that we have, and that's not all that we need. We're grateful to God for the days when we can laugh and rejoice with our families. Who knows how many more opportunities we'll have? We've got a whole crowd of visitors today, family from out of town. You'd be grateful for that. Who knows the next time you'll all be together? Be grateful for the meals that you share, the laughter and the joy that you have. We're grateful for the times of testing, grateful for the times of trial that remind us why we are stuck in the situation we're in, that remind us of the power that God has to uphold us when we are out of strength. Whether it's a time to dance or a time to mourn, we're grateful because God gives us what we need every day. And knowing the times, we need to live wisely. In Ephesians chapter 5, we'll close with this passage. In Ephesians chapter 5, we'll start reading in verse 15. This is how the apostle talks about knowing the times. He says, therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even to the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. When we think about making the most of our time, verse 16, or some of the older translations will say redeeming the time, which has a nice ring to it. How do we do that? What does it mean to make the most of your time? Does that just mean to enjoy yourself all the time? Well, no, probably not. But there are plenty of good things in life to enjoy. Now, as he talks about making the most of our time, he says, don't be foolish. Don't waste what God has given you. Don't spend it gratifying yourself or your wants or your pleasures. Don't be filled up with wine, eat and drink for tomorrow we die kind of thing. He says, redeem the time by knowing what God's will is. A transformed life in Christ. A life free to choose what is holy and right and true. Speaking to each other to build each other up. Praising God for what we have. Always giving thanks and being grateful. That's how you make the most of your life. That's how you make the most of your time. So whether it's a time to gather or a time to throw away, we're grateful. We build each other up. Whether it's a time to embrace or a time to be alone, we're grateful. We build each other up and we're thankful to God. We're wise, not because we know everything that life has in store, but because we know the God who does. He holds all eternity in his hands. And no matter what your life will hold, there's a time for everything. There's a set, appointed day for it. And God will sustain you through all of it if your trust is in him. Let's do that this week, following. Trust in the Lord. He sees the whole picture. This is the lesson this morning, and we'll close with a prayer, and then we'll have a short break before our Bible classes.